Discretion is the better part of valor. Men, this morning, as we leave the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, I think that that expression from Shakespeare, from his play Henry IV, probably describes pretty well what Solomon is trying to say to us this morning. Okay, one last shot in chapter 10 as Solomon tries to help us stay happily involved in life, practically involved in life, knowing that we can't figure it out, knowing that he's totally in charge, knowing that he is the ultimate source of our happiness, but this life gets very confusing. In chapter 10, in these nice little proverbs that he's given us, he's going to give us one last shot, and then we're going to move on to chapter 11 next week. Okay? So we're in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. He says to us, King Solomon, 3,000 years ago, in a totally different culture, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the miracle of the Bible, that today these words are as applicable as they were when he was writing in his, what do they call it? What do the smart guys call it? His milieu, his setting, his culture, okay? 10:16, woe to you, O land, whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Men, we don't approve of everything that people in authority do. We don't give them a blank check. We know that character is the ultimate issue. The first thing that Solomon does today is to contrast childish, immature leadership. Leaders who start their drinking parties early in the morning, he says, whose princes feast in the morning. Obviously, that's the wrong time to have a party, right? He contrasts them from men of character. Men of character. Verse 17, blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth, and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. These leaders have self-control. They're from good families. Their father, the king, knew how to raise his kids. They display delayed gratification, if you want to take a page out of Scott Peck's book. That's a great concept. Got to teach children to have delayed gratification. You watch TV after your homework is done, et cetera, right? And if we are discreet, we should be able to tell who the good leaders are, and character is what comes through. Discretion, discreet. Verse 18, he says, if a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. Men, there's no substitute for character, and there's no substitute for diligence. Diligence and leadership. In the New Testament, Paul says in Romans 12, he says, if your gift is leadership, then govern diligently. Don't you ever get a little tired? Those of us who have families and businesses, do you ever feel like, I can't do this anymore? Well, Paul says, hang in there. Be diligent. Be diligent. Leadership starts at home, the scripture tells us. If you are lazy, the roof will sag, will begin to sag and eventually leak in your house. And then in the context there, this is true of home life and will be true of dilapidated and reckless maintenance of justice in the land, in the wider body politic. The overriding message of the scripture is this: if you can't govern your own family, don't worry about the wider body politic. 3,000 years ago. We need to take heed of this. We need to be reminded that government starts with self-government. So we need men of character, and we need men who are diligent. Sounds a little old-fashioned, doesn't it? Back to the basics. Discretion. Be discreet. Notice how Solomon does not directly denounce the kings and princes here at the beginning of this section here today. He says, "Woe to you, O land, whose king was a servant." And in verse 19, so he doesn't go directly at the kings and the princes. He says the land is the one that's going to suffer. And that's true, isn't it? If you don't have righteous leadership, the land suffers. Notice in verse 19 here, he says, a feast is made for laughter and wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. Incidentally, the translation of this is a little disappointing. I was hoping, you know what we do? Instead of being exegetes, going to the Scripture and letting it talk to us, very often what we do is we go to the Scripture and hope that it's going to confirm some of our prejudices and our biases. In this case, the translation is a little disappointing. Solomon says that the misfortunes of the land are further compounded by the people's preoccupation with pleasure, laughter, feasts, and drinking. And then verse 19b here, it says, "But money is the answer for everything." And the translation of it is this. He is saying that people in their governments are going to have a tendency to throw money at problems. Can you see that around us today? Do you know how much we spent nationally for this last election across the country? $2 billion total expenditure for this past election. But when you think about it, now maybe this is the deliverable here today, practically. When you think about it, all that money does very little to address real needs of people. What do people really need? What people really need are those who will really get involved with them, get interested in them, and care about them. That's what you can't buy with money. And most of all, what people need that you can't buy with money is to help them get a new heart through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves of this over and over and over again. What people really need is a new heart that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And we will throw money at building programs and all kinds of things, but very often, those who are truly trying to reach people for what they really need will go wanting. And that's what that line means. But money is the solution for everything. It's not. It's people caring about people. We need to be discreet with where we put our money if we are going to stay happily involved in life. Read the 6th chapter of Galatians if you want more insight on that. Lastly today, be careful, be discreet about criticizing people in authority. Verse 20. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Where did the expression, a little birdie told me, right? This is where it comes from. Be careful of indiscretions coming out of bad thoughts. In the New Testament, you know, Paul gives us the right answer. You know, all this criticism of people in authority, it's not biblical. All of this negative stuff is not biblical. Paul says, if there be any merit, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's very immature to go around criticizing people in authority. Biblically immature. If there be any merit, if there be any praise, then think on these things. If you are indiscreet, remember the walls have ears. A little bird A little birdie may tell someone in authority what you said, and you may not want that exposure. Discretion is the better part of valor. So, as we leave chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes, and I don't know about you guys, but I got up every morning for the last month or so, and I said, Lord, what are you going to teach us now from this ancient wisdom? As we leave chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes, let's summarize. Remember, I'm taking you back to the first verse. Remember, there is a fly in the ointment. The folly in this world outweighs wisdom and honor. It does. Sometimes, I was talking to Alston this morning. He goes to Europe a lot. Europeans can't quite figure us out over here. We've lost our sense of community. They don't quite understand us. We got all the techie stuff, but we may be missing some very basic things that people need. But stay calm, he said. You remember a few weeks ago? But stay calm. It stinks out there sometimes, but stay calm. And don't be afraid to risk it, he said, but with skill. Skill is what brings success. Verse 10, Ecclesiastes 10:10. But skill will bring success. So the professional is always increasing his skills, especially his relational skills. The leverage in life, where you're really going to excel is going to be in the area of your relationships with other people. That's what separates the professional from the others. Skill brings success. And then last week, we talked about being gracious with your words. And today, be discreet with our decisions. Remember, discretion is the better part of valor. I hope that's been an enjoyable chapter for you. As we close here today, I want to pray. I'm going to just talk to you about it. There's a prayer in the New Testament that I think is a wonderful thing for us to have in our repertoire of prayers, something we could even memorize. And I'm just going to recite it to you, and then we'll pray it together. In the first chapter of Philippians, Paul praying for those people, he said, I pray that our love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. In other words, that we would be discreet, that we would discern the fine points of the game. He said, I pray that our love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that we would approve that which is excellent. Not good, but excellent. That we would be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which come by Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Just 3-4 little verses, something you could memorize, and in your car, you just ask the Lord, you know, make me sharp. Make me sharp. Help me make a difference in this world. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, I pray for us that our love would abound more and more in knowledge, in all discernment, that we would approve that which is excellent, that we would be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which come by Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And it's in His name that we pray this morning. Amen.